Welcome to the 5-Year You Podcast, a show dedicated to helping you become the best version of yourself one day at a time. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kat, and we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable.
Are you ready to grow? Hi, Five Tribe. Today's episode is all about finding hope, and it's a really important one in these times where there's so much craziness going on, and a lot of people are feeling anxious and worried about the future and what is going to happen. So today we thought we'd bring a little hope into your lives. I'm your co-host, Andrew Dewar, and with me as always is Catherine Collins. How are you doing, Kat?
I'm doing really well. Good to be with you, hanging out today.
Always appreciate the good hangouts in the world of hope. So we were just talking about this before we started, and finding hope is challenging when you're in these times, I think. A lot of people I'm talking to are like, they feel obliterated, and it's like they don't even know where to turn. When we have these hard times, when we look at things and we're like, okay, the economy's doing this and blah, 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 and I don't even want to give a lot of attention to it because that's the opposite of what we're trying to do here. How do we start to find hope in moments like this?
A big thing that I like to do, and I'm going to try to explain this without giving too much energy to negative things, but I think it might be helpful for me to give an example. So as part of my work, half of my work is working with you, our coaching company and podcast, 5-Year You. But the other half of my work is that I have been a financial writer for almost 15 years now. And so I feel like I am all up in the world's business regularly, right? Like I am constantly reading about the economy, about the workforce, about inflation, about tariffs, blah. And so sometimes when I work, I'm just like, man, I have so much empathy and this like deep feeling for people who might be having a hard time, going through a hard time, worrying about a hard time. Additionally, because of my work, I see a lot about layoffs in tech and AI and all these different things. So that's a part of my world is all self-improvement, right? But then the other part of my world is sort of being right up front and center with people suffering and worries and trying to help them with money advice. So a big thing I go to is evidence, right? So let's say that we're coaching somebody who recently got laid off. Massive blow. It's a blow to the ego, FICA fear, and all of those are emotions that might not necessarily contribute to getting another job quickly. So if you were to coach one of our clients who recently had a job loss and is in a complete panic, what types of mental like kind of ideas, what kind of thoughts, how can they work on attracting like maybe a better opportunity so that they can think that that happened for the best?
I think when that happens, I think the best thing you can do is start monitoring your internal dialogue, because what we see in the outer world is a reflection of what we are talking to ourselves inside. And we know this, and there's been countless studies done on this stuff. It's law of attraction, yes, but there is also just, you know, if I tell you don't look for the red in the room, all you're going to see is the red in the room. That's right. Just how our minds work. So you need to start, when that happens, you face the fact it sucked. Yeah. No one's going to tell you that getting laid off was the best thing that ever happened to you in that moment. It might be right. 5 years
later
from now,
you might look at it.
Yeah. Right. But nobody wants to hear this is the best thing that ever happened to you. You're not getting a paycheck now, you know? So what we have to do is just kind of face it and go, okay, what is the good that could come from this? And give that possibility. And right. We're not trying to find this huge hope bubble. We're just trying to find like a dusting of hope. Why do you think this might have been a good thing? Well, I didn't really like the job. Okay. You didn't really like the job. That makes sense. So what were you hoping for? When you were in that job, what were you hoping for? You know, I was really hoping to be doing something that was more creative. Okay, great. So you know that this isn't the right thing for you and you're kind of being nudged towards something more creative. So how can you foster that? And through a series of very simple questions, but very targeted prompting, we're able to find out that this person really never wanted to be in that job and was waiting for, you know, couldn't leave because of the whole security thing and all the good things that jobs provide, but they were able to let go in a different way and got laid off. And now they're being pushed into a different way. The other thing with stuff like that is like, yeah, you know, AI is interrupting stuff in the economy and all that stuff. Look back through life. there is always a problem with the economy. No, even like when the economy was going great, you are not going to find a news thing that says right. economy is great, sun rose today, and everything is beautiful. It's going to be terrorizing. So
yeah,
the next thing we would start to do is to just start to change your inputs around you. Because if you're looking, I know when you do your writing, there's a digesting period where we have to come back into the hope boat and kind of go like, look, yes, these things are happening. They're not happening to us. We have to leave those in a bucket at the door, and we're going to come back in and we're going to get going with feeling better about our days and stuff. Because if you focus on that, you're never going to feel good. The news is meant to be bad. The news is the 0.1% of the world going around you, but it's the negative part because that's what sells. So if you're going through your feed and you're like, I'm just looking for something good, you're never going to find it. You just won't. I mean, you got to go to your friends, and that's where you start to find hope, is through your social network.
Yeah, I think that we're talking about finding hope, and something we've often talked about are silver linings, and acknowledging that the world is full of contrast. We have a podcast episode about contrast. So even in times where you feel like you've lost hope or you're at your worst, let's say, you know, someone close to you passed away, like there is a part of you that can see the silver lining that is, had I not had such a special relationship and so much love for this person, I would not be this devastated. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful that I had this experience in this lifetime where I was able to love someone so much. Again, hard in the moment, but every challenging thing has a silver lining. And we're coming to you at a time where there is a lot of negative news. There's a lot of negative news about just everyday people having struggles, lots of worries about the cost of everything. And because Andrew and I are money nerds and money people, we can't help but insert some of these tips into that. So try to find the silver lining. For example, let's say that your grocery costs have significantly gone up, which they have for everyone. What is a silver lining that you can find? I recently found a woman on Instagram who has taken this as an opportunity to actually learn how to cook things from scratch. She's gotten her kids involved. She was like, I've never like bought vegetables to chop. I always buy them pre-chopped. Like, she's using it as a chance to say, okay, how can I cut down on this grocery bill? How can I get my kids involved? And now she's made a pretty solid little business out of it, because so many people are looking for this information right now. And her account has blown up, and in the good ways of blowing up, like lots of people are looking for it. And that just shows me like, wow, there is also so much opportunity in hard times. It just depends on how you look at it. And the world might not feel as hopeless if you start to look for some of these silver linings and opportunities.
I like that. Again, it's just finding a new direction in your brain to start shifting stuff. I love that story. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But it's true. I mean, what you're going through isn't unique. I wish to say it was, and like we're all these special snowflakes, and we are, but we all go through similar experiences in different ways. And I think having that collective response of going like, yeah, somebody else has gone through a layoff, somebody else has gone through a heartbreak, somebody else has gone through a death or something terrible. We're all going through the economy stuff at the same time. We always have been. So it's just important to look at these things and go, okay, here's the hard truth. You have survived everything that has been thrown at you so far, and you're going to survive this too. And that is something I go back to quite often in my brain when I have a hard moment, is look, my batting average for this is 100% of surviving the day. So I'm going to accept the fact that it's a hard moment, but I'm going to look for the things that make me delighted. I think one of the other things that happens when we are trying to find hope, and this is more of a kind of a, I think the word somatic response to things, but we get in our heads so much. And when that happens, we kind of get frozen, right? It's not like a parasympathetic response or sympathetic nervous response, but it's just like you start overthinking.
Yeah.
And the best thing you can do when you are getting to that is to start moving. Like in that moment, get up, jump up and down, run in the spot, do bilateral eye training, whatever it is, do some tapping, get outside, get some sun. There's a whole bunch of things you can do to feel better in that moment, but that's what you need to do when you are stuck in your head. And you can attest to that, Kat. I've had that even this week where I had to get a call, and it was like, okay, you know, start rubbing your arms and everything, because some days you are harder than others, but you come out of these things going with, you come out of them coming out with proof that I survived this. Yeah. And this happened to build my reserve of hope, of strength, of fortitude. So go ahead.
Yeah, you bring up a good point that if you're having trouble finding hope, you can create the hope. You can be the hope. If it seems like there's no good things in the world and you cannot muster the strength to find positive, if the news feels bad, if you're dealing with difficult things, you can be the hope for someone else. The quickest way to feel better is to help somebody else. I recently learned of a service. I, of course, am not going to remember the name in this exact moment, but it is a volunteer organization where people can request a meal and people make a meal, but it's only lasagna. Okay, so if you Google like free lasagna in my city or volunteer service, you will find it. But anyone, if this is in your city, which it is in mine of Chicago, people volunteer to make lasagna and bring it to somebody. And then someone who might need it, who might maybe hasn't had a home cooked meal in a while, they can be the person to request it. And I saw a bunch of great stories about it, how people, maybe people throw in a salad with it. And a lot of people are like, these are the nicest people. Sometimes if you feel like, gosh, like I'm maxed out, I could barely afford my own groceries, all of these different things, but maybe I can make a lasagna for someone, because that's like, we're talking like less than $10 cheap, right? You can make a meatless lasagna. And just the act of doing something for someone else who might need it can lift your spirits. Then it shows other people that there are still nice people in the world. There are still good people in the world. Even joining like a buy nothing group and like giving away some of your things for free. Like whatever it is, you don't have to donate thousands of dollars in order to be the hope in the world. You can do really small things, even notes, cards, you know, Dollar Tree is two cards for $1. Ask me how I know. That is my place to go for all cards. Like why spend $7 on a card when it could be 50 cents? But I digress. There's so many things that you can do to make someone's day better. And the more that you're in that vibration of sending hope and sending joy, the more it's going to come back to you.
Are you feeling stuck in your life right now, kind of not sure where to go or what your next steps are? We've created a coaching program for you to help you discover your path, and we call it 5 weeks to Future You. What you'll get is 2-to-1 coaching with Catherine and I over 5 weeks while we help you figure out what the next steps are in your life. We offer a complimentary call. You just have to go to 5yearyou.com to check it out and set up your call with us to see if we're a good fit. I know from my own experience that it is incredibly hard to do this on your own, and that's why we're offering these coaching calls. We're only going to work with 5 people at a time to make sure that we can give you the attention that you truly deserve. So head on over to 5yearyou.com to get started. I love that. And I love that lasagna thing. It's got me hungry. It's such a good idea. I love that. I think what the key to take away from it is what you do for others, you do for yourself. So if you're going to do something nice, like send a card, if you're wanting to reduce the friction on that, something that I've done is I've reached out to people in my past, because you know, you're friends on Facebook with like 200 people you haven't seen since you were 18. And I've had moments where like someone has come to mind and just sent a message and said, you know, I was just thinking about this time that this happened, and you can guarantee they have no recollection of this. And just saying like, you know, you were really kind to me this day, or you were really nice, and I just wanted to say thanks. You know, it came to mind and I thought of you, and they're going to think of you more after that than you've probably ever thought of them, because they're like, wow, I impacted someone's life. You make them feel good. And by in turn, you feel good. What we do for others, we do for ourselves. That's a really big takeaway in all of this. So when you're feeling like stuck in or hopeless, knowing that there's hope inside of you at all times, just screaming to get out and go do some good in the world, is a really, really good thing. Thank you for that. I love this.
I know. I was like, man, that makes me really want some lasagna.
Yeah. It's not on our eating plan. We're going to have to figure out lasagna. Okay.
I got to stop talking about it, because I will just immediately go buy things to make it.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about water now. No, we're going to move on. When you start to feel hopeless, what is your personal go-to? Like, what's kind of like when you're like, not down in the dumps, but maybe that's the right way, where you're like, is it ever going to get better? What do you look to the past for something? Do you look for, do you forward tell? What's your kind of go-to?
Yeah, I think what you're really asking is, what are my coping skills when things feel really bad? And we also have a good episode on coping skills. But yeah, this is something that we're not really taught. It's a lot of parents, they want their kids to stop being sad right away, right? So a lot of us aren't taught how to process challenging emotions, how to deal with hard times. And I think it's really good to build that self-awareness, because when you know yourself and you know what can improve your mood, that really helps. So Andrew and I were just talking about how we wanted to make a little like chart. I was like, we should do it like we're in preschool. Like, it's got six pictures on it and we laminate it. And it's like, when Catherine's sad, did you do these six things? Are you hungry? Right? Yeah. Or did you get a good sleep? Have you had your water? Whatever it is. And then, you know, some suggestions. Like, for example, for Andrew, when he's having a hard day, Andrew, in case you haven't noticed, is very smart and very intellectual, and he can really, like, he can process for hours. So sometimes when he's having a hard time, I will say, do you want to maybe watch a really stupid TV show? Like, do you want to just pull up something that's just funny? Because if you haven't laughed all day because you've been in your smart brain, like, do we want to have a dumb moment? Right. And Andrew, you know, is a movie buff, and you kind of have your go-to shows. And sometimes just putting on something stupid, anything to break the thought pattern can help, can make you feel like more hopeful, can make you feel like there's maybe a speck of joy of getting better. You have to interrupt the pattern. And so I give all of those examples to say it's really important to find what works for you.
I like that. A few other ways I interrupt the pattern, because, you know, sometimes you're not available to say, to remind me that, you know, you've been living in your Chrome dome for a couple of hours now, and you need to go deal with that. And so one of the things I've been actually thinking, like, how do I shift to feeling more hopeful and more happy with that stuff? And so what I did was I went back in my brain and I went through my life and just kind of thought of certain things that I just love to do, and not thinking things, just like kind of brainless things. And one of them was playing Super Mario Brothers. So whenever I start getting a little too down, I'll have this mental cue to come up, and it gives me the end, like, you know, when you die in Super Mario Brothers, it kind of has a down song, then starts back up again. And as soon as I do that, I feel like, even just doing those sounds right now, my whole body just lit up just a little bit, because I am wired for happiness with that song. Thank you, Nintendo, for programming that in such a young age. But it's being able to do those things. Like, maybe it's a walk for you. Maybe it's whistling. Maybe it's humming. Maybe it's playing an instrument.
Dancing.
Or dancing. Yeah. All these kind of activities that get you out of your brain and into a better part really do help, but you just got to give yourself permission to think about it and give yourself permission to get out of it, because that's, I think, the hard part. We wallow in it.
Yeah. I think that people maybe really try to do the right thing. Like, no, I'm going to like process this feeling. And if I go play a video game, or if I go watch a dumb show, that's funny, I'm just being avoidant. And that's not necessarily true. Being avoidant is like never dealing with your feelings. Being self-aware enough to realize that you need a pattern interrupter, that you need to raise the vibration and raise the feeling by doing something you actually enjoy. There's nothing wrong with that.
No. And for the science nerds out there, I just read Hidden Potential by Adam Grant. And he was talking about traumatic movies impacting kids, or traumatic, like, kind of external moments, not like personal moments. And they said that kids and adults that play Tetris the same day for 10 minutes after seeing a traumatic event helped process that event in their brains better than if they just left it. So I am playing Tetris. I have to play with the music off, because, again, Nintendo programmed that song. I was hearing that song in my sleep for months. It was not good. But that is really, really another really cool thing. So it's not necessarily being avoidant. You might have to process things differently. Another great way of processing that stuff is to go for a walk without your phone. I mentioned in a past episode that there's bilateral stimulation when you walk and you're swinging your arms and stuff. And if you're thinking about that issue, it will actually process it and allow it to your brain to kind of digest it in a way that is much better. I have been doing that daily for a couple of weeks now since I read the book. And it's amazing how many issues just kind of disappear, because you're like, oh, I kind of walked it out. So there's a lot of things you can do.
Final tip I will give for this is sort of appreciating and having gratitude for the things you have in your life. And I know that that is like a very commonly used piece of advice by personal development folks, but I'll give you an example. Like, I don't think it's helpful when somebody says, you know, well, there's people in war zones in the world and there's like a lot of like sadness and hunger and all of those things, so you shouldn't complain. I think everybody is allowed their own experiences, and that if you are feeling sad about something or disappointed about something, whether you're privileged or not, like, everybody has the right to their own experience and their own feelings. But what I will say is kind of funny how the energy works. I have a paid for car that is, you know, 13 years old. And so all kinds of little things are happening. It's developing a little, you know, ornery personality given its age. And the other day, like, the lock stopped working, the up and down lock for the driver's side door. And I was like, well, this is a little annoying. I got to kick it old school and put the key in and turn and all these things. And like, part of me was a little grumpy about it. And I went and got a quote on how to fix it. And he said it would be $300. And I was like, well, doesn't bother me that much, right? Like, it's fine. And so I decided to be nicer to the car and say, you know what? It's fine. Like, I get it. Like, my bones creak sometimes too. And I know you're 13, but I'm really glad to have you. And I'm really glad that you're paid for. And I feel really blessed for it. Did you know that that lock started working yesterday?
That is so awesome. I love that.
I've just been talking so sweet to it and having some understanding for it. And it sounds so silly, but it's like in my head, I'm like, oh, I got to save up for a new car soon. I need to start looking like, I feel the car like knew that. It's like, but even cleaning your house, like maybe somebody feels like, and this is my friend Jessie Furon, who you can find on Instagram. She always says cleaning your home brings a lot of gratitude, because when you're looking at your house and you're frustrated, you're like, oh, I really wish I could afford a kitchen renovation. I really wish I could afford a bathroom renovation. But like cleaning it and just being like, I'm so grateful that I have a bathroom. I'm so grateful I have two bathrooms so that my family, you know, has space and all of these different things. Just looking at very normal things and feeling gratitude for it and putting good energy into it can help you to feel like you're not lacking.
I like that. I think that's a really good advice. That's great about your door. Right? I was trying to do some energy work on it when I was there last time, and it was like, it was stuck, and I'm like, that's weird. Okay. Anyway, grateful that it started working.
Yeah.
My last piece of advice would be, if you're really having a hard time finding hope, I would jump into future you, which we have a meditation to do that, and just kind of journal to yourself today and say, I'm so thankful that and just write it in the future tense of how you want things to be. There is so much energy that goes into the written word, the spoken word. It puts your ideas into a tangible form. And if you can start doing that on those moments, what you're going to do is you're going to start actually looking forward to when you start feeling a little down, because you're like, oh, yeah. I get to go, you know, join my future self and write back. These little things work for a reason. They activate new parts of our brain. They start thinking in a different way. And it's really, really important that you start training yourself to think a different way when it comes to this. And it's not going to happen all at once, but one step at a time with the tips we've given you today can definitely help. So Kat, it's time for us to move on to our glimmers. What's your glimmer for today?
Oh, I'm so glad I got to go first, because we started like this living room couples learn how to dance course. And I hope it's okay that I said that, because it was so much fun. I love dancing, and like, I haven't done it in a while. And it's, you know, I don't know, it brought so much joy. I could just feel myself smiling the whole time. And it's just like something different to do. But it really is a big glimmer. I keep thinking about it. And I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see Andrew again so we can like move on to the next lesson in our dance class, our living room dance class. It's so fun.
Yeah, it's and, you know, I'll give a shout out to them. It's called the app is called Show Her Off, and they have like, you know, living room dance classes. It is so much fun. I've never been one for dancing, and I'm starting to get more into my body with all the stuff that we're doing. And I'm like, I really like that. It was like genuine fun.
Yeah. It was good trust building exercise. We got to practice a dip, and I was like, woo! Yeah.
Yeah, we both got to learn to trust my knees, and then they held up for my knees are really bad, folks, from years of knee boarding and hockey. My gratitude, you know, I found my rollerblades, and I am so excited to go out rollerblading. It's nice outside. I'm just really, really excited to be able to skate again. I haven't skated in a couple of years, and I'm just really excited for my rollerblades. It's such
that's
a simple
so cool.
thing.
So yeah, I know you're going to bring yours up. Yeah, I am going to bring the rollerblades up. And I was about to say, can you guys tell that like we have sun shining in Winnipeg, Canada and Chicago, Illinois, because we are so much happier to be doing things outside and exercising. I feel a lot better.
Oh, yeah. It's so crazy what the sun and the good weather does to our attitudes and our
so true.
Just our mindset. All right, folks, we will see you next week. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to this, and we'll see you next time.
Hey guys, quick disclaimer. We're podcasters on the internet. If you need to seek professional help, please go see your healthcare professional.